Okay, we are back, and the season is finally over. The Tottenham Hotspurs survive relegation, and I do mean survive. 17th place of 17 places that get to stick around for next year. They did it last year. They did it this year, and we're looking forward to maybe doing it again next year. You've learned no lessons. There was no penalty for giving up on yourself, the team, the fans. Everybody should be ashamed, but they're happy.
The Spurs go.
You're a student that got a D minus for 2 years in a row.
Tottenham are the greatest team the world has ever seen.
You're awful. You should be ashamed of yourself. Nobody wanted you.
We scrape by the skin of our teeth. Let's close the loop on Coy's boys here, because I feel like people they deserve to know how things ended. Things were looking dire. They were looking Eric Dyer for a little bit. Eric Dyer is my favorite Spurs player.
Got it.
He was an old center back who now plays for Monaco. but yeah. Yeah, we took it to the last day. Left it late. So what did you make of the game?
They needed to lose and West Ham to win in order to get relegated. Instead, West Ham won, but also the Spurs won.
Yeah.
So they avoided relegation by 2 points?
Yeah, by 2 ultimately. There was a lot of different permutations. Basically, every single permutation resulted in Spurs being safe. If West Ham drew or lost, Spurs were safe no matter the result. If Spurs drew or won, they were going to be safe no matter what happened to West Ham. West Ham needed Spurs to lose the game, and they needed to win.
Yeah.
And if that happened, they would have beaten us, and we would have been relegated. But despite how, you know, tricky their path was, it seemed like the most likely thing was going to happen, I think, because there's just so much disappointment and pain associated with being a Tottenham fan.
Yeah.
so the fact that we got by was really miraculous.
But maybe this will lead to more long-term pain, because what's going to happen next year now?
Well, I think things are looking good, because this coach came in, I think, you know, I don't know how many games he was in charge, like 5 or 6, and he took 11 points from those games, which is like more than the previous manager. Like, you know, they hadn't won a game when he took over.
Right.
So like, I don't think they had won in 2026 when he took over, and he oversaw 3 wins. So, you know, really good stuff.
Yeah.
So I think there's been a lot of growth. The team is playing much better. We had an insane injury crisis. So we're getting fit players back. The board has written an apology letter to the fans and said they're going to invest in the squad and spend money. So I think...
Was that a thing? Were they acting cheap as owners and not paying for good players?
Yes. Yeah. They had like one of the lower like wage bills. When it's compared to like what the club brings in, like the amount of money generated by Tottenham, they're paying very little of it out. So they can't get the best players, because they're like, and they had an old chairman who was like a very shrewd negotiator, but would like drag out negotiations. Like last summer, we were supposed to get Eberechi Eze, who's like an amazing player from Crystal Palace. And we were like negotiating for weeks and weeks and weeks. And while that was happening, an Arsenal player got injured during preseason, and they just like made a quick move, overpaid for him, but brought him in like overnight. And he like went on and scored a hat trick against Spurs when they played. So like,
I mean, but did he really help Arsenal that much? What did they do this year?
Yeah. Imagine how the pain of Arsenal, it could have happened on the same weekend. Like, we could have gotten relegated the same weekend that Arsenal lifted the trophy. That would have been so devastating.
If the if the because the winner comes down to often just how another team does. Like Arsenal celebrated not by winning a match, which is very un-American. It's like we saw Man City tie and we were just at home and now we are the champions.
Yeah.
So like, yeah. Do they watch together as a team so they can like pop champagne, or is everybody like celebrating a championship in their own separate houses?
I think they all watch together. I was seeing like social media clips of like a bunch of Arsenal players who like went to the stadium at like 5 a.m. on the night that they won and were celebrating with fans there. So I think like...
So they do still get together moment. And celebrate together.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
And what if they clinched like... basically clinch, where it's like we have a plus 28 goal differential and like we're probably gonna win because we can't lose by that much. Yeah. But like we haven't officially mathematically clinched. Would they still celebrate like they had won?
That's or a good do they question. Wait? That one's hard to say, because even though Spurs were gonna like everybody was afraid to say that we would be good enough with the draw. Because
right. It was like a 9-goal differential or something.
Yeah, it's like, well, West Ham could score 11 goals, so yeah. We can't really say it. If the goal difference 28, you probably celebrate, I would just imagine. Celebrate.
Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe it's more exciting at that point to wait until the last day.
Because then you can win. Also, like, would you celebrate if you lost on the last day, but the other team lost?
That's what I was curious about with Spurs. I was like, there's a world where Spurs and West Ham both lose.
Yeah.
And, like, do they... If Spurs lose that game 3-0 and West Ham lose 1-0, are the Tottenham players running around like cheering? I don't know.
Probably. I think that happens in baseball sometimes when like you make it to the playoff because some other team lost. So like you lost and the Reds lost, and because the Reds lost, the Mets make it to the playoffs or whatever. And so they just lost the game, but they're like popping fucking champagne bottles because they made the postseason.
Oh, all right. I guess the relief would have been really palpable. I probably would have been celebrating too.
Yeah. So what did you do? Did you watch the whole game? Did you do one of your patented, I'm going to walk away with 8 minutes left because I can't handle the pressure?
I might have, but I decided I was planning on, so there was a little while where I was planning on watching the West Ham game because I was like, that'll be a little less stressful. I'll just kind of watch. And if I have a hate watch instead of like I'm rooting for Spurs, if I just watch West Ham lose or draw, then I'll be happy. And only if they win will I check the Spurs result, and then I'll know. But I won't have gone through any of the pain of watching.
But they tell you the results in real time while you're watching one game, right?
They're they definitely
don't worry. Right. We won't spoil the Spurs score.
Yeah. And having watched the game, I did see the entire time, like they were just cycling through the other team's scores. So I would have been obsessively checking. But then at a certain point, I was like, if they do get relegated, I will feel better about it if I watch and they like fight, you know, if they have a good game, if they play with a lot of heart, but like lose, if they go down fighting, I'll be like, you know what? I'm okay. 'Cause we gave it everything. And conversely, if I watched and they phoned it in and it was bad, then I would be like, you know, then I think I'd be upset enough that I'd be like, you know, they should go down. So it was almost a
acceptance.
It was a self preservation thing. I was like, to feel the least amount of upset, I need to watch, because it will just be deflating. Because my brother was like, I'm not going to watch and I'm just going to look at the score later on in the day. I'm like, I don't want to just like refresh my phone and see they lost 2-0. Because like without context, I might be like, oh, these fucking idiots. But then, you know, if I watch the game, maybe they have like a bunch of chances hit the woodwork. They get denied a penalty. Like, and it's like, oh man, they should have won that game or something. Right. And I would have felt better. But anyway, yeah. So I decided that I was going to watch every second. I think if it had gotten down, like if they were tied, and it was like the 80th minute and I knew West Ham had won, I might have not been able to handle it. Because Spurs also, after halftime, there was like a technical issue where the referee, his walkie-talkie wasn't working. So it took an extra 10 minutes for them to start the game. So West Ham's game finished a full like 10 or 15 minutes before Spurs did.
Yeah.
So I knew the result of that one. I knew they won 3-0.
And the Spurs won 2-1.
No, they won 1-0.
Oh, 1-0. So the other team could have won 2-1, and that would have eliminated the Spurs.
Yeah, if Everton had come back. But I think at a certain point, early on, it looked like Tottenham just like they were up for it. I felt like they were, they had a couple chances. They were picking their passes. I feel like I can tell within a few minutes if like, oh man, they have a bad touch. They're passing behind everybody. They're turning the ball over. They're being really stupid. It's going to be one of those games. But it felt like they were, they had a plan. They were going for it. And I was like, okay, I believe that we'll score. I think we'll score.
Was Everton playing for anything?
I think there was some weird permutation where if the right number of teams lost, they could have been in like the eighth European spot and gone on to the European Conference League or something. But they weren't really playing for anything. And neither were Leeds, who West Ham were playing.
Right. So Leeds almost like laid down just to give West Ham an opportunity to relegate Tottenham.
Yeah. I think Leeds is in like 15th or 16th and Everton's in like 11th. So neither of them, they're both safe and they're not really playing for anything.
So the game ends, then what? Are you like sigh of relief or are you jumping for joy?
As the game is ending, you know, we scored in like the 40th minute or 41st minute. We scored before halftime. And I was like, okay, great. We got it. We can protect this lead. We can even draw if we draw super late. Or we can like pat, we can get some more goals. So I was watching the second half and I was feeling a lot less pressure. But then there was also like, and then like the 80th minute, I was like, okay, I think we got this. But then we made a bunch of defensive subs. The game got pretty open. There was some pressure on the goalie, they forced a really good save. So I think if they had like tied, it would have been pretty stressful. But as it was, I was celebrating because Tottenham played really well. Big moments from some of my favorite players. I told you the goalie story, right? The Kinski redemption arc.
No.
Okay. They had their backup keeper, who hasn't really gotten to play all season, got put in for a game against not Real Madrid. It's Atletico Madrid in the Champions League. He like slipped on his ass and gave up. I think he gave up three goals in less than 17 minutes, two of which were directly errors. Like one
he
time
kept slipping on his ass. Yeah. He slipped on his ass for 20 minutes. Yeah. And they started playing around him.
Slipping and sliding on his ass.
Yeah. And like, you got to just stand up, man. You keep moving and slipping on
it
your
was
ass.
3-0, and he got subbed off at 17 minutes. And everybody was just like, his career is over. Like, you don't, his confidence is shattered. You don't come back from that.
You can't keep slipping on your ass.
Yeah. Our main keeper got like hernia surgery and he was supposed to come back into the team, but they had to give this other keeper another chance. He comes up with a really great save against Wolves, an insane save, like maybe the save of the season against Leeds, and then this massive save against Everton. He had like two clean sheets from his final five games. So he had
the
Kinski
redemption arc.
Yeah.
Do you keep him next season or back to the regular starter?
I think the regular starter is going to move on somewhere. I think we're moving on from the regular starter. But the question is, I think De Zerbi wants to upgrade both. Like, he wants a new number one.
Yeah.
But I would keep him because I think he's great. So yeah, I was celebrating at the end and all the players were like, you know, they fell to the floor because they're so exhausted. They gave everything and they're going to the fans and pulling on the Tottenham badge. And I'm moved. I'm stirred. We were all together. They're bedraggled with injury.
Yeah.
They were done dirty by the chairman, like appointing the wrong people. So yeah. I don't know. I felt great. I felt connected.
Proud. And their subreddit was proud. Nobody was like, these fucking guys.
I actually have I've gone on a Reddit cleanse, so I don't know how they're feeling. Yeah.
So you're off Reddit as well. I mean, you're running out of social media places to check out when you're just on your phone or something.
Yeah, it's tough. I do a lot of Zillowing now.
I see. That makes sense. Yeah. The prices of homes.
Yeah. I like to see what the prices of homes in like the Penobscot Bay are.
Yeah.
You know?
Just out of curiosity. It's nice to know price per
it's
square
good to
foot.
Know.
Yeah. It's good to have that.
Yeah. So I have that, and then
as long as you're
I
wasting
go,
some yeah. of your time online,
as long as I'm looking at my phone, it's good. But I was wasting too much time getting sucked into the opinions of
others,
random people mm-hmm. who I didn't necessarily agree with. I would like scroll through the comments on Reddit, getting worked up, being upset until I just to find one comment that I agreed with, and I'd be like, "There, that's the way I feel." Okay. Good now. I couldn't have known that unless I got challenged everywhere.
So you're off Reddit entirely for this. Even for the post Spurs glee.
Yeah, but I did go on Instagram just to look at all of the I looked at all of the players' posts, and pretty much all of them were like and they said in all their post-match interviews, they're basically like, you know, we don't deserve you as fans. Or not like, it was more
you
like...
You as fans or U.S. fans?
We don't want you U.S. fans. No, it's like...
Even you, Jake.
The support has been amazing even when we didn't deserve it. Like, this is a season to forget. We should never be in this position, but you guys supporting us got us through. So, like, that's a really nice. Good connection between the fans and the players.
That's good. And they could always blame the injuries.
Yeah, and I think they, you know, to an extent they do blame the injuries, but they blame the injuries and they blame the club for the injuries, because a better club would have had players in reserve. It would have had a better medical staff to keep people from getting injured.
Interesting.
The higher-ups at the club, I think, they're questionable for sure.
So this offseason, what are we looking at? New coach, potentially new keeper, potentially new players?
Well, De Zerbi has a 5-year contract, so the coach is the coach, and I thought he did a really remarkable job. So I'm on board.
Okay,
he's a great man manager, great tactics, and he plays like front-footed attacking football, which is the Tottenham DNA, and the players are all bought in. So I think this offseason we got to upgrade a lot of the squad, even though this squad gave everything and saved us from relegation. Just not all
good enough.
They're not all on the level that you need to be. And I think it's because of the injuries. You know, we're playing second choice position just about everywhere.
Are any of the injuries gonna linger into next year, like a torn Achilles, where it's like, yeah, he's not back next year either?
Yeah, Javi Simmons tore his ACL in the Wolves game. So that was like four weeks ago. So he won't be back till like next year.
Uh-huh.
And there was also another ACL in February, I think.
Yeah.
There's a bunch. Yeah, there's a bunch. We don't have... I think we need to upgrade just about every position.
And hot just free agents on the market, or just not work like that? Is everybody sort of available?
No, there are a few free agents. I think we just signed Andy Robertson from Liverpool. He's kind of an older... He's a vet, but good. And then there's like a... free agent center back that we're trying to sign to. So I think there's some free agents, but we have to spend some cash. I don't really know who's available or who we're chasing yet.
Is there a salary cap in Premier League, or you could just spend the most money on the best players?
I don't know you can spend whatever you want. They, like Liverpool spent $1 billion last summer.
Wow.
But I don't know like how it's, I don't know the difference between like what you pay a team for a player and what you pay that player, because like the wages have to be agreed. Like you can get the transfer, you can pay their transfer fee, but then you have to pay their wages. I don't really understand. I'm not good at that part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when does
how do you feel about your? Oh, August.
Oh.
World Cup's going to be in a few weeks though.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into the World Cup, but like I don't see any like there's no like buzz in the air. It's just like all I see is like tweets about ticket prices going down and how they added too many countries and like the U.S. team isn't very good. Maybe when it actually starts, they'll feel some buzz, but like I don't see much fanfare around LA.
I think once it starts, there's going to be a lot of buzz.
Yeah, I'm down to talk more about soccer once the World Cup starts, but
yeah, we should turn this into a World Cup pod.
Exactly. I just don't know anything about... Are you going to go to some of the games? I know there's games at MetLife.
Yeah, I want to. I feel like I need to see what the schedule is. Like, I wouldn't want to go see, like...
Cape Verde versus Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Is North Macedonia in here? Maybe I want to see them, actually.
There's three games there. which are like varying wildly in price. The first three games are Brazil Morocco, which costs $1,500 per ticket to attend, even for the worst seat in the house. France Senegal, $750 to attend, and then Norway Senegal is only $462.
Wow, I would actually see any of those.
Which seems cheap when you compare it to the other prices, but then you're realizing I'm spending $500 to watch Norway versus Senegal, which isn't great.
But you're seeing, I guess it depends if Erling Haaland is playing.
Right, if you know any of these players.
Yeah, and there's Pape Sarr from Tottenham is on the Senegal national team.
All right, so that's some rooting interest.
Yeah, I'll see what Tottenham players are coming through, and I would probably try to go.
And actually, the finals, the World Cup finals, is at MetLife, and those tickets are going for really, really affordable, $9,000 each.
Wow, and that's the worst possible seat you can get.
Yeah, worst seat. So nosebleeds for $9,000, and then if you want to take a few of your friends, you're looking at $30,000 to $40,000. But I bet the concessions won't be super expensive. Like the hot dog are probably like $8 or $9.
Right. Yeah, and a beer is like 24.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. There's options.
All right.
Love it. All right. Live to fight another day. I guess there will be a Tottenham Hotspur Premier League podcast next year.
That's right. The Coys boys will be back.
I was kind of looking forward to seeing how they would do in that league underneath them.
The championship? Yeah. I know you were. You're not a real fan.
But what if they just destroyed? That's kind of fun.
Yeah. I was scared that there was a chance that they wouldn't. Because like Wolves were going down, and I guess they drew Wolves this year. But like they drew and beat them. But yeah, like they're not...
They're not that much better than the 18th
I wouldn't bank on them. Yeah, like the Wolves did the double on them last year, I think. Or maybe they drew one time. Either way, like, yeah, I wouldn't bank on them beating every single team. It'll be interesting to see if West Ham and Wolves, like, come right back up.
What's your expectation for next year? 17th place, or do you think we could beat it?
I mean, next year, if we're in a relegation battle again, I'll probably just be like, I'm going to tune out. Like, it was too much.
that's all you can handle for now.
It was too much this year. I think if they don't correct anything, then I wouldn't be able to buy into the team. I would hope. I think we should be challenging for Europe next year. Whether it's, you know, even eighth place got into the Europa Conference League this year. So inside the top 10, I would like that.
Top half of the table.
Yeah.
And have you gotten into Knicks fever yet, or are you waiting for them to win a finals game or two?
No, I've been watching all the games. I have Knicks fever.
Okay. And you do, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was on your fantasy team 4 years ago, so you're familiar.
Yeah, and I've been watching him play too.
And
I guess I want to see OKC versus the Knicks. That's the game that I want.
Yeah. Optimistic about that? Let's go! Yes!
The thing is, nothing matters to me anymore. I already I'm not even the on scariest, Reddit. The scariest thing happened and I survived.
I faced relegation in the fucking eye and said, not today.
Isn't that cool?
All right, good work. See you guys soon for some more World Cup action.
Come on, you Spurs.